we've looked at how to build our spirit, lots of different ways. Praying and singing in tongues was a really important one, and we're going to practice a little bit of that later. Waiting on the Lord, being still, and you know, I've just gone through preparing for this fast. God told me back in October that I need to have 4 months, 3 months of preparing to engage with Him by learning how to be still in His presence, by going through the different parts in my soul, the chambers of my heart, the garden, the dance floor, the soaking room, and the bridal chamber. And each of those things has been quite an intense emotional and spiritual experience, but in all of them, I haven't seen anything. Normally, I see a lot of things. I encounter the angelic and in the heavenly realms, but during this time, God has just said, be still, to wait and to rest. And we've looked at some of those things during this series, but what it is to rest in God. And so I felt like I've been under the shelter of His wing in darkness, feeling His heart, hearing His voice, but not seeing anything. And you know, the last time I went on a fast, I engaged the fast to break into the heavenly realms and to see things, because God invited me to do that. And it took 19 days to break through. So I've, in the last 3 months, have been being prepared to break through to an even higher level. So I'm expecting on this fast to engage things that I've not engaged before, and obviously to bring that and to share it with you. But the last thing we looked at last week, and I want to finish this bit off today, is about meditating on the Word of God and understanding that God speaks to us as a flow of spontaneous revelatory thoughts, pictures, feelings, impressions, but we need to pick up, we need to tune into, we need to be able to see, hear, feel, see those things, touch them. And the Word of God is the basis for that, but the Word of God is the beginning for experience, not the end of it. And last week we looked at how the mind works and how the heart works. And when I put pictures up like this, you might not be able to read all the stuff, but I do it because when you go back over it, you've got something to refer to. So it's probably better when I put a picture up to sort of just listen, and then later on you can go back. So it's quite a complicated picture, and we ran through it last time. But actually, everything that is stored within our heart, within the subconscious, and within the mind, actually is there because of repetition, and meditation shows value. When you meditate on something, you value it, and it becomes something which is real to us. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active. It's powerful. The Word becomes a doorway to spiritual encounters. We can use the Word as that doorway to open our hearts up to be able to encounter God and to know Him. Not know about Him, but know Him by actual encounter, face to face. You know, we sing it, but I wonder how many people actually, when they're singing it, actually envisage meeting God face to face, meeting Jesus, the Holy Spirit, face to face, so that you can talk to Him and engage and see and hear and feel. Because actually that's what it is. Face to face is not something which is unreal. We can sing it and not imagine doing it. Actually, we need to do it. God wants us to meet Him that intimately. A lot of the songs today, and it was sort of a bit of a golden oldie session, we're all singing about that sort of encounter with God where we meet Him, we see Him, we experience Him. The Hebrew and the Greek word for know means to experience by personal encounter, not head knowledge. So much of today's knowing is intellectual knowledge, whereas the Bible doesn't have an understanding of intellectual knowledge. It's all about personal encounter, where you actually encounter and experience God in reality. And the Word of God becomes a doorway to those encounters. So we can have experiences, visions, pictures, revelation, encounters with God where we meet Him, see things and hear things. And all those things, if you read the Word of God, it's just full of pictures, full of images, full of things where people experience God. God gave them revelatory things, whether they were prophetic or other things, they saw and had visions. Now, I encourage you, if you're going to benefit from encounters with God, write them down. Journal everything so you can go back to it. When you journal something, you can go back and review it, meditate on it, and draw from it further revelation, and so you can revisit the experience. So the experience, because we value it, becomes something in which it grows. So the Word, once we have an experience, go and find the Word of God which backs up that experience, so that our experiences are based in the Word of God. They become an anchor for the experience then, and a platform for further experiences. You know, we don't want just to have experiences for experience's sake. They're based on encounters with God so we can experience Him. There are three stages of experiences that we can have with God. First is visions, where we might get a snapshot picture, we might get moving pictures. Often we would see a third person type thing. We would see ourselves or others in the third person doing something so that we see things in a vision. The second stage is visitations, where it's more like you're in the first person and you're actually involved in the vision. Now that can be through a trance, like Peter had when he was on the rooftop and he fell into a trance and he saw the sheep coming down and animals in it, and then he was opened up to an angelic encounter which led to the Gentiles receiving the gospel. Very powerful experience, which was a trance. Now, a lot of the things I'm talking about here, trances, visions, it all sounds very New Agey, actually, because the New Age have hijacked what the Bible says. They've hijacked it, polluted it, and told us that we can't touch it. And a lot of the church will say, "Oh, you can't do that. That's Eastern religion." Actually, where did the Bible come from, actually? East. You know, it wasn't Western. Didn't come from America or Britain, came from the Middle East. And therefore, their understanding of how to engage God was very much on the visual and the experiential. And we need to understand that we can have experiences where we go into a trance. I personally went into a trance which opened the door for a personal heavenly encounter. Also, you can be translated. Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, basically says, "I don't know whether I was in my body or out of my body, but I went into the heavens. And I experienced things that were so amazing that I could hardly even express them." And some things in heaven are like that. There's very things you can hardly express. But actually, there's a lot of things you can. And some of the stuff I've shared with you and Ian Clayton and other people have shared things of the heavenly realms. You can feel like you've been translated there. Ezekiel was taken out of his body. His spirit was transported into Jerusalem so he could see what was going on. Well, that's all a bit weird. Actually, only if you think of it as something that is not for us. If you see it, well, actually, God wants us to have those sort of encounters where we can experience the presence of God and the Holy Spirit can take us to different parts of the world, show us things, take us into the heavenly realms. We can have first-person visitations where we go and experience the things of heaven. The reason for that is so we can bring heaven to earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you've not been to heaven, you don't know what heaven's like. How are you going to bring as it is in heaven on earth? Other than seeing the things that Jesus did, which obviously was a demonstration of that. But actually, we've all got an invitation to do what Jesus did, because there was an open heaven over Jesus and angels were going up and down all the time. You read in John chapter 1. So we can have visitations. And the third thing is habitation. That's living in the dual realms of heaven and earth simultaneously. Think, well, how is that possible? Well, Jesus did it. Think, well, how did Jesus do that? Well, this is what Jesus said in John 3:13. "No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven." So at that point, he was saying people can't go into the heavenly realms. But Jesus came down from heaven to open up heaven for us. And then he went on to say this, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. So he was talking to Nicodemus, said no one can ascend to heaven, but he who has come down from heaven, talking about himself. And then he said, who is in heaven? And the Amplified says, dwells and has his home. So Jesus was on earth, but actually speaking to Nicodemus, saying, I'm actually in heaven at the same time. That is how Jesus was able to see the things the Father was doing. That was how he was able to do the things that he did, because he was in constant spiritual connection with the heavenly realms and the Father. Now, whatever Jesus did, he's made available for us, because Jesus said, you will do the works that I do, and greater works, because I go to the Father to open up this door of avenue into the heavenly realms to experience living in dual realms, so that we can live and see with our natural eyes, but we can also be seeing with our spiritual eyes at the same time and flowing in revelation that comes from God's presence. Now, how do you do that? And some of this is why meditation is so important, because meditation is the biblical process for opening the eyes of our heart to see and encounter the truth of who God is and His Word in a practical, experiential way. Meditation, and this is a definition of it, means the act of focusing one's thoughts to ponder, think on, muse, reflect, contemplate, babble, mutter, imagine. So our imagination is very much part of what meditation is. And again, using our imagination is very biblical, but has probably had a bad press. And I've heard people say, well, I'm just imagining it. Yeah, and what's wrong with that? That's how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, through our imagination. It's the eyes of our heart, so we can see visions and pictures. And we can use that. Some other synonyms would be contemplation, reflection, rumination. Rumination is the process, I think, of cows bringing up the cud and chewing it over again and again to get all the juice out of it, so they get all the goodness. Meditation is ruminating over the Word of God, over the experience that we have of God, so that we draw from that everything, all the truth that's available to us. Deep thinking, remembering, in the sense of keeping or calling something to mind for the purpose of consideration, reflection, or meditation. To murmur, it's also about speaking it out. So when you meditate, you can speak it out, hear it. Speak it out, hear it, and therefore it's going into your heart as it comes out of your mouth. So you can converse with yourself. It's not mad to speak to yourself. I speak to myself all the time. I get a lot of sense out of myself. More out of that of some people, other people at times. But actually, God can be speaking to us in that process. And it's one of those things. It's like praying in tongues, speaking the Word of God, as we mutter it, as we speak it aloud, we're communicating to our spirit. Our spirit is growing and engaging with the Word as we do it. Another word is to mutter, to babble, pray, even have musical notation to do with meditation. Imagine. It's another dictionary definition of it. And music is very good in meditation. It provides a platform that engages our imagination. The right side of our brain, as we said before, the right side of our brain is where creativity, our imagination is, where we speak in tongues is all operating in the right side of the brain, and the right side of the brain activates better when it's at rest. The blood flows physically to the right side of the brain more when we're at rest. Hence, when you meditate, it's good to be in a sense of relaxation, having some deep breaths and all those type of things. It's not wrong. They're just placing our body in a place where we can experience. Peter had to be put in a trance so his body was out of the way so God could speak to him. I get the impression that Peter wouldn't have listened and saw the picture that he did of the sheep coming down, which totally transformed the whole church's understanding of the gospel, if his body wasn't taken out of the way in his mind. He had to see it from God. And God does that in the process. That it turns the Logos written word into the Rhema spoken word. So when you meditate on the Word of God particularly, that word is what's written. Now it needs to become what's written and spoken to us. So when we meditate and speak it, it's like God speaking it to us again and again and again. And as He speaks to us, it then becomes something which is real. Not just something that's on a page or in a book, but something which is real in our spirit. Something which provides faith to live from. Head knowledge turns to personal experience. Now, if I'd been given £10 for every time someone had said to me, well, I know it up here, but I haven't got it in my heart, I would be quite rich, I think, because over the years, loads and loads of people have said that. Well, I know it up here. Meditation is the process of turning head knowledge of the Word into practical experiential knowledge in our heart. And so it's really, really important. And it enables us to hear the Word of God. We hear the Word of God. Because God speaks to us through His Word. And He can go beyond what's written there into a greater explanation and revelation and understanding of what He's trying to say to us. So He can use a scripture and speak to you, sometimes completely out of context of what the scripture was even written for. Because he wrote it, and he's got every right to do whatever he wants with it. But he does that so he can get over something he wants us to understand and to hear. And by allowing him to do that, by focusing ourselves, we are placing ourselves in a place where we can hear the voice of God and to experience his presence. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. I mean, how many people want to be prosperous? I mean, I want to be prosperous. And it's not just talking about money. To prosper means to excel to the highest level. So in my destiny and what God has called me to do in my life, I want to excel to the highest level that I'm called to. To succeed. How many of us want to succeed in life? Well, we'd be stupid if we didn't really, wouldn't we? So to meditate on the Word and have the Word of God in us to live from by experience will enable us to prosper and to have success in all we do. Proverbs 4:20 is a good passage which talks about the process of meditation. And it's like, think of this as God speaking to you. My son, give attention to my words. God is speaking all the time. But most of us actually don't pay attention to listen. And yes, you can hear God through your daily life, and that's how he wants us to experience him every day, every minute of the day. But actually, sometimes you just need to stop and listen and give him some quality time. Pay attention. Give attention. Choose deliberately to say, I'm going to give you this time to hear your words. What are you speaking to me? What are you saying to me? We incline our ears to his sayings. So we give attention, we give a place, and then we listen. There's no point him speaking to us if we aren't going to listen. So we need to listen. And it's not enough just to hear what he's saying. And it says then, do not let those words, those things, those sayings, depart from our sight. And this is what meditation is. It's bringing back those things that God has said over and over again to our sight. Keep them in the forefront of our thinking. And depending on what sort of job you've got or what sort of situation you're in, you might be able to do that a lot. Because some people have jobs where they don't necessarily need to be thinking all the time. But while you're doing it, you can have the things that God has been speaking to you right at the forefront of your thinking, keep them fixed in your sight. Keep your eye on those things. Then it says, keep them in the midst of your heart. So when we speak them out and think about them and meditate on them, they go from just things that we've heard to things that are actually in our heart as a foundational truth that we live from. They're in the midst of our heart, in our subconscious mind, where they're stored as truth and where they trigger the conscious mind to behave and act according to the truth. It says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we need the truth in our hearts to say, to guide what we say. Hence, we speak according to the truth of God's word. We're speaking faith, bringing it about. And then it goes on to say, for they are life to those who find them. The words that God speaks are life and health to the body. How many of us want to have healthy bodies? Yeah. Well, here's what it says. Meditate on the word. Get the truth of healing. God speaks, his word is full of healing and health. Get that truth. Meditate on it. Are those healing scriptures? You know, I meditated on healing scriptures for about 2 to 3 years because I was sick. I had an incurable disease that they said I would have to have the rest of my life and take tablets for every day. But I was determined to go back to the truth of God's word. And I got every scripture on healing through a concordance, every single one, and meditated on them day after day after for 2 years, or 3 years it probably was. In the end, I had a revelation of that in my spirit, and I've not been sick since. And that was, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. But that is what you can get. Now, I can lay hands on you and pray for the sick, and the sick can recover as a result of the healing anointing of God. But actually, you need to get hold of the truth yourself. All of us need that truth in us so that we live in health and wholeness. And all of us have the potential to do it. It's whether we've got the discipline to do it and the desire to do it, to put it first before other things. Because we can meditate on a whole load of things. We can fix our thoughts and attention on a whole load of things. Some of them may be fairly neutral things. Some of them actually can be fairly negative things. Worry and anxiety comes from focusing on negative things through fear. So if we get those things in our heart and they produce health to our body, then it says watch over the heart. In other words, keep a guard and protection over what you let in your heart with all diligence. In other words, that really means focus on it. For from it flow the springs of life. The springs of life, God's life in us, comes from our spirit, through our heart, out through our body. And next week we're going to be looking at open up those gates. But we need to pay attention to how to meditate on the truth of God's word. Okay. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So the word can protect us from going down wrong routes, wrong pathways in our life, because it's going to guide us and direct us. Verse 15, I meditate on your precepts, all the things that you've written, ideas, lots of different things in there. Your servant meditates on your statutes. I will meditate on your wonders, all the wonderful things that have happened, miraculous things, things in my life and in the word of God. Your testimonies are my meditation. Testimony is so important. What's God done in our life? Meditate on those things so that they will become a constant source of life in us. I may meditate on your word. Okay. Psalm 63, verse 6, I will remember you. These are some of these. What do you do? What do I do when I meditate? I remember the Lord. I bring him back to my remembrance of something positive he's done in my life. My testimony. I meditate on you in the night watches. It's a whole subject, the night watches, that when I get a real breakthrough in how to do it, I'll give some revelation on it. Psalm 77, verse 11, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. So if you want to meditate something, meditate on some of the things that God's already done. Lots of things in the Bible, lots of things in our lives. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. Psalm 143, verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse on the works of your hands. So many things we can meditate on, positive things of the character and the nature of God, so that we can know him and know how he does things. Then we can recognize him in the world around us, and he can move through us into that world. The Logos word of God reveals God's nature, his character, and it safeguards us from the truth. Of the truth becomes our standard or plumb line. We always need the word of God to make sure we don't go off with the fairies. You know, because there's lots of things we can experience which may not be totally of God. That's why we need to have a good foundation of the word to keep us safe. But that shouldn't create fear so that we don't have encounters. I've had loads of encounters that are not in the word of God directly, but they all line up with the character and the nature of God. Psalm 119, in the first 40 verses, there's a whole lot of things there about the things we can meditate on. The ways of God, the testimonies, the judgments, the law of God, the precepts, the statutes, the ordinances, the commandments, and the wonders. All slightly different things. And if you look at Hebrew meaning, they've got a particular meaning, which I might teach one day. Beholding and becoming. What you look at, you become like. So if you want to become more like Jesus, then start looking at him. Looking at him in the word. Looking at him in meditating. Because we become like him. 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. If we look at and focus and meditate on the Lord, have an intimate relationship with him, we will become more like him. And it's in stages. It doesn't happen overnight. It's in steps of relationship from glory to glory. In other words, we represent the manifest presence of God, one stage to another stage to another stage, until people can see God through us and in us and around us in what we do. Okay. The Rhema word of God, God speaks to us. He can speak to you, to your mind. He can speak words, pictures, all sorts of things. He speaks that truth into our spirits and into our hearts. We respond to that word in obedience. There's no point God speaking to us if we're not going to act on what he speaks. We need to respond in obedience. When we respond in obedience, we then act on the word and live it out. That's how the process works. God speaks, we respond, and then we live in faith on that word. Psalm 119 in those 40 verses also talks about what happens that we need to do. God has given us all those things, his ordinances, testimonies, that stuff. What do we need to do? We need to walk in them, observe them, seek them, look at them, treasure them, tell people about them, rejoice in them, meditate on them, establish them, delight in them, live by them, long for them, cling to them, run to them, incline yourself to them, reverence them, give thanks for them. All those things are in those 40 verses. Now, as a result of doing that, God does stuff. God responds to our living in faith. How does he respond? It's what it says he does for us. He blesses us. He ordains good things for us. He teaches us. He opens our eyes. He rebukes our enemies. He takes away reproach from us. He revives us, answers us, strengthens us, grants us things, enlarges our hearts, gives us understanding, and deals bountifully with us. I want all that. But if I'm going to get all that, I actually need to focus and fix my attention on God and live out what he says. Now, there's a little diagram there which talks about the left and the right hemisphere of the brain and the heart and how they're interconnected in meditation. So the right side can have involved with music, emotions, pondering, reflecting, imagining, dreams and visions. On the left side, it can have talking, conversing, muttering, seeing things, and reasoning things with God. But in our hearts, it's where the flow of life comes in terms of speaking in tongues and devotion and prayer. So all those things are part of meditation. Now, how do we prepare ourselves? Well, the first thing, we need to have a clean heart. We're unlikely to be able to draw something from the Word of God if we're in sin. So if we're going to spend time with God, let's make sure our hearts are clean. So we ask God to cleanse us and forgive us and prepare our hearts to receive. Ask God for a teachable attitude. There's no point hearing God teach us if we're not going to act on what he does in obedience. And we need an attitude which is teachable, which means we have to deal with pride and humble ourselves before the word and surrender to God. I surrender my senses to you. God is going to speak through the different senses of our body and our spirit and our soul. We need to surrender those senses to him. Open the eyes of our heart. Ask him to open our imagination to see. I present my abilities to reason and imagine to you to fill and flow through. We can speak these things and ask God these things. I focus my attention on what you show me, and I thank you for what you've revealed. Have an attitude of thanksgiving when God speaks to us. Okay. Another way of looking at this, and this is another illustration. We've been talking about the Word of God, and we've been talking about our heart, and God pictures and gives us a picture of our heart as a garden. A garden which has the river of life flowing into it, but actually hasn't got much else in it until it's planted. So every testimony that we have, every encounter that we've had, every vision, every victory in our life, every revelation from the Word, everything that God speaks, we take as a seed, and we plant it in the garden of our hearts. So when you plant a seed, what do you expect to grow? Plant of some sort. Tree. If you plant a tree seed, an acorn, you want an oak tree to grow. You know, the Bible talks us about being oaks of righteousness. So we can plant things into our heart to grow. We water it. And you can see yourself doing this. I water it with the Word of God. I speak the life of God over it. Speak life to it. We've been given the ability to speak and command things to grow. So we can command it to grow. So when we plant a seed of a testimony in our life, we don't want to wait 50 years for it to produce a tree. We want it to grow instantly. So we can go back to that tree and receive fruit from it. So whatever grows, and some of you, I know, have seen plants growing with flowers on them, and some have seen trees with fruit on them and different things. It doesn't matter what the picture is, but the truth is we can go back to that and receive revelation from it again and again and again, and we can live from the victories to more victories to more victories, because we've taken what God has done for us and planted it in our heart, and then we're living from the experience of it. We eat the fruit again and again to release the power of the testimony over and over every day. It's just another illustration of what meditation is, planting that truth. And you can see yourself doing that. And actually, for those of you who've encountered God within your own heart, within that place, you know you can go back to those places and you can get that fruit and eat it. And it brings power into your life. Whole load of scriptures there, which I'm not going to go through individually, but you can look when you look at the presentation afterwards. Things you can meditate on, lots of them. Hebrews 5:14, and this is the last verse I'm going to do, then we're just going to practice a little bit. It says, solid food is for the mature, and that's talking about the Word of God, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Our spirit and soul, we have to practice to train our senses. You know, little children are very spiritually aware for the first few years of their life. They see angels, they see all sorts of things, they experience things with God, but when they go to school, it gets trained out of them. And so by the time children are 6 or 7, only 10% of them are still creative, where 99% of them were before. So we need to train our senses again to discern and hear God's voice, to see and to picture. Okay, now I want you to close your eyes, okay? I want to activate your imagination. Now, every one of you have got an imagination, okay? You were born with one. It's been given to you by God. But sometimes we have to learn how to activate it. So I want you to close your eyes and picture your front door in your mind. So activate your imagination and picture what your front door looks like to you. Okay. Now, I want you now to picture any door, can be your own front door, but you reaching for the handle that's on that door. Now, don't worry if you're struggling with it a little bit, because it takes practice. Practice means doing the same thing over and over again until you get it right. And God will follow practice and help. Now I want you to picture a door with light all bursting through the gaps between the door frame and the door. So there's something behind that door. It's light. It's God's presence. It's God's glory that you can open up to. Okay? Right. Totally different picture now. I want you to imagine a beach. Okay, just picture a beach. And then picture the seashore on that beach with the waves coming in on the end of the beach. Now, some of you who were brought up by the sea may have a better imagination of the beach, which beach it is. For those of you didn't, it's like some of you may have received a snapshot image in that process. You might have seen a picture of a door, and it's a snapshot. Some of you may just have had an impression of a door that you just felt, oh yeah, that's my door, and you had an impression of it. Some of you may have just known, and you can't really say, I saw it, but I just knew. Some of you may have had feelings about it. Some of you may have the full Hollywood production, in that you saw it, you were there, you're right in the middle of it, and it was a door that you knew you could open and you'd find out what was on the other side. All of those things are equally valid forms of communication. It's like, don't think, oh, I can't see anything, therefore God can't speak to me. We have to develop our imagination and the eyes of our heart by practice, and some of the times it takes time, depending on where we've come. Now, I want you to stay with your eyes closed, okay, and we're just going to do a little exercise. Some of you have done this exercise before, but I want you to If you haven't got a picture of a beach, you can look at the screen for a second, and there's a nice picture of a beach with some sea there, okay? But I want you to relax, and if you feel, actually, you're feeling a little bit tense, then get your muscles moving a little bit, stretch them out, and just relax. You may need to take a few deep breaths. Just get yourself in a place where the blood is pumping to the right side of your brain so that your imagination can be activated. God is going to start speaking to you. And as I speak, we're just going to start to meditate on a scripture. And the way that I normally meditate on it is just to speak out slowly the words. And as I'm speaking out, just let the words flow over you, and then we're just going to take it a bit further. So, scripture is this: be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I am God. Be. 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 Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. 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 I want you to picture yourself on that beach. It's a warm, sunny day. Deep blue sea is all shimmering in the distance, and there's a gentle breeze just blowing through your hair. Those of you who've got hair. You kick off your shoes, and you just slowly walk across the sand. You can feel the sand through your toes, and you head out for the water's edge. And as you walk towards the water, it starts to get closer. Sand starts to get damper. And you dip your feet in the cool, refreshing water. As you look along the shore, you see a man walking slowly towards you. As he gets closer, you know that this is Jesus. He joins you, paddling in the water, and you just start to hang out with him. You start to feel strangely peaceful. Places his hand reassuringly on your shoulder. He looks deep into your eyes. You feel his love and compassion. You know he's looking deep into your soul. He asks you, "How are you? How are you doing?" You feel safe and secure. And from deep within you, you feel free to unburden yourself. You can tell him your deepest needs, your longings, your desires. You know he understands. You unlock the door to the deepest recesses of your heart to him. Begin to feel a deep sense of joy and peace flow into the depths of your soul. He kneels and slowly and purposefully draws a picture in the sand. And he starts to share his heart with you. Start to reflect on what he's drawn and what he's said. Now it's time to go. You look into his eyes. And slowly turn back to the beach. But there is a strong feeling of his presence with you as you walk slowly away. You hear his words whispering to you as you go. Okay, now some of you are able to engage in that easier than others. first time I engaged that way myself, being very left-brained and logical, I went to a conference with Jeremy, actually, and it was a FaithWorks conference, and went into a morning meeting, and this guy did this type of exercise. And I suddenly realized I could see and experience the things that he was sharing. And I've practiced that ever since in my own time with God. Now, I just want to just finish with one more little thing here, okay, about praying in tongues. Encourage you, if you can't pray in tongues, this is a gift for everybody. God wants you to pray in tongues. It's a gift he wants you all to have because it's so important in building our spirit up because it edifies us. Please see someone afterwards, one of the ministry team, who I'm sure will be able to pray with you to release that. But I just want for a minute, just everyone to pray in tongues out loud. Shut your eyes. Don't be embarrassed about what's going on. If you can't pray in tongues, just praise God in English. It won't matter. So, okay, a minute. We're just going to pray in tongues. Okay, out loud so I can hear it. Thanks. Aya randoro shiama makati, katia randoro shima matre, or indiarama, or roshuma kataranda riandoro shikataro kutima, haroshuma kataretia rindiaroma, haroshima katia randor indiaroma, andishuma katoroka, ashandoro kutarindiarandoro matre, ariendiaroma, arroshuma katarindiaroma, arindishandoro kutarema matre, orondoro kuti shandoro mama matre indiaroma ma. Yeah. Okay, you can stop. Now I want you to pray in tongues, okay, but at the same time I want you to read Psalm 23 in your head. Just like you can read a book, not speaking it out loud, you can read what's on the screen. If you know it off by heart, you can just do it with your eyes closed. But just pray in tongues as we were doing, but now, in your head, read what's on there, okay? Because you need to be able to do two things at once when you're praying in tongues, so your spirit is engaging with the word. Okay? So let's pray in tongues again, but this time, just read that over to yourself as we do it. Shi arandoro kuti arandoro mama matri, shandoro kuti arandoro ma, arindi arandoro shama makati, arandor indi arandor indi ma, oro shuma makati, kaya arandoro shundore mama matri, arindi arandoro ma, shandoro kuti arema, arro shandoro kutari ma matri, o indi sharandoro kuti arandori andoro kuti, arro shuma katari indi arandoro ma, Iarandare matri shandoro mama matri. Okay, you can stop. So, in a sense, I've skipped that one, right? Okay, but it's like you can also pray in tongues on the inside. Okay, so 30 seconds, pray in tongues on the inside. You might hear the words in your head. You might see the words forming in your head. They might just come bubbling out of your spirit. But you can pray in tongues on the inside. And also, just shut your eyes and imagine that picture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You might want to imagine, while you're praying in tongues on the inside, shepherd, you might want to imagine green pastures, lying down in his presence, quiet waters, doesn't matter what it is. Just practice engaging your imagination and tongues all at the same time on the inside. So you can do this wherever you are, on a bus, with other people around you. You can be engaged in meditation, even everything's around you, because we learn how to engage our spirit and act on it. Okay? So for just 30 seconds, we'll just finish. I just want to encourage you to do that. So pray in tongues on the inside and just shut your eyes and imagine something there from that psalm. Okay. Now, some of you might struggle with that. But don't worry. You have to practice. It takes time. I had to train myself to be able to pray in tongues on the inside. Now I can actually pray in tongues while I'm here speaking to you, because my spirit can be continually praying without ceasing, because I trained it to do so. It took time, took some effort, but I trained it. So I can be praying in tongues all the time and doing a lot of other stuff. My spirit is going to be active and engaged, and I'm going to be drawing from the life of God. Amen?